So, Dr. Bethia Walsh, they heard me ask the question, what is addiction? Is it really just an attitude disguised as something else that we just call addiction? So, how about that? What really is addiction? How would you define it?
That's a great question. So the way I think of addiction is it's a chronic disorder that is impacted by many different factors. There are biological factors. So at least half of the risk for developing addiction is attributed to what we're made up of, our biology, our genetics. And there are also environmental factors or cues that play into addiction, social factors, psychological. In general, just the way I think about it is it's a chronic disorder. Some people would describe it as a chronic disease. And so there is a medical component to it. I also think of there being an environmental impact on addiction. And the way we think about, or the way we come to a decision about whether someone has, and really what we're talking about is a substance use disorder, mm-hmm. and a very severe substance use disorder. So the more symptoms a person has, and really we're looking at six or more according to the DSM-5, which is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, we are basically saying someone's got a severe substance use disorder. So basically what we're looking at is certain symptoms like craving or a strong desire to, or a strong urge to use a substance, but so strong that you can't think about anything else, like that's it. Or having trouble keeping limits, so having in your mind a limit of how much you want to use, and then you keep going beyond that. Maybe some people have some concerns about your use, argue with people about their use, you know, some social problems. Then we've got ideas about our concepts of tolerance and withdrawal. We'll come back to that. But basically that means tolerance being that the person needs more of that substance to feel the same effect that they got when they first started using the substance, or they get much less of an effect with the continued use of the same amount. Withdrawal being there are these symptoms that pop up that after a period of heavy use or use for a long period of time, that the body starts having a reaction saying like, I really need this to function. And the body starts having these symptoms to tell you that. We also know that over time, once the body gets used to this idea of functioning without the drug, it can pretty much reset. And then there are some other symptoms we look at as well. Like often people have a strong desire or urge to stop and they can't. They have trouble controlling that. I've heard that a lot from people who use nicotine or tobacco. Like many people who I know smoke really don't want to be doing it. It's just that it's really hard to stop. They have the desire to stop, and it's super difficult to do that on their own or with help sometimes.
That is so interesting. Mm-hmm. That, you know, yeah. You point out so that a lot of mm-hmm. people really do want to stop. They're just mm-hmm. not able at any given time, given point in their lives, they're just not able to stop without help.
Right. And that's, you know, there are some biological components to that. And then there are sometimes some, here's where the psychological factors play out, that people often have a good relationship with their with the substance they're using. Why? Because they know what it is. They know how to get it. They know how to retrieve it. They know once they use it or ingest it, they know how it's going to affect them. It's going to help them to feel different. It's going to, they say, help them to feel better, numb them from some painful experience they're having, or use it as an escape from a situation that they see is very overwhelming, or help them to manage some shame related to something they're doing. So substances are used or enhance an experience. So using like club drugs like ecstasy, Molly, or some other sorts of drugs, syrups, stuff like that, to enhance a sensation or an experience in some way. So a lot of enhancement, a lot of shifting around. People know exactly what they're doing and how to use it and the strategy behind it, I should say that. So there's a huge psychological component to it. And people often feel very, very attached to these substances, almost like a figure, like, for example, a parental figure they never had. So people, there are some researchers who often think about severe substance use disorders or addiction as a sign of there being some sort of disruption in connection or attachment in their family, in their parents, that they're trying to recreate with a substance, if that makes any sense.
That is so interesting. And so instead of just trying to numb the pain of not really having had mother, father, or both truly in their lives, instead of trying to numb the pain of what they missed out on, they're actually trying to replace mom and or dad with this mother figure or this father figure, which happens to be their drug of choice?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that, and drugs are actually designed to do that, designed to mimic that attachment that people always longed for with their parents or with others in their life. And so, and even on a physiological level, the drug can impact the brain in a way that leaves them, you know, that meets their need for connection. In fact, it's interesting. I just came across a paper a few weeks ago, and I can't remember whether they started this study, but the paper described the study design. Add a dose of oxytocin. So oxytocin is a neurotransmitter that feeds our need for connection, but add a dose of that to people who are seeking treatment for marijuana, hoping that if people got that need for connection through that, they wouldn't need the drug so much. So there's certainly a strong connection there.
Wow. Well, you meant that you mentioned that physiological component. When we come back, can you share with us what's going on physiologically, particularly as it pertains to the brain when a person is experiencing addiction?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Talk about that.
I appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bethia Walsh helping us really get a grasp on what's happening when we're talking about addiction. We'll be right back.